各位在座的弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters.
我也在此向那个透过网上来去跟我们直播，跟我们一起参加崇拜的弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace be with you, those who are joining us online.
今天我要传讲的信息是有关于这个商业道德。
This morning I'm preaching on business ethics.
对我来讲呢，是确实有很大的一个挑战，因为呢，我本身已经离开这个商场呢，有一段的时间。
It's a big challenge to me because I've been away from the corporate world for a certain amount of time.
而且有关讲于这个商业道德的这个方面的事情呢，对我来讲，我觉得也需要注意三方面。
And I need to pay attention to three aspects.
第一呢，就是我需要去很谨慎的去定义商业道德还有它的规范。
First, I need to carefully define what is business ethics and its scope.
然后呢，第二方面就是从这个世界、社会和这个生活环境的急速转变影响之下，对现今的人们，比如说是消费者、企业，或者是来说，商业道德它渐渐的是趋向于呢哪一些需要承担的责任。
And secondly, in the context of the rapid changes in the world, the society and living environment, then for today's people, consumers, business owners, enterprises, what responsibility should business ethics undertake?
第三方面呢，透过这些讲解的这过程当中呢，如何又借助这个圣经话语的这个教导的神学角度来去对话和做这个省思。
And thirdly, then through the process of explanation, teaching of God's word, theological conversations, reflections, how should we then live out and practice the teachings of our faith?
当我们讲这一方面的这个信息之后呢，又如何帮助我们透过这个圣经的教导，使我们在生活中活出和实践信仰的教导，祝福社会和这个人群？
And having done so, then how should we live out and practice?The teachings of our faith, and in doing so, to be a blessing to the society and people around us.
所以，请大家在听的时候也不断的为我们来祷告，使我在传讲的时候呢，能够很清楚的将这信息传讲，也能够得到一些帮助。
And so, please join me and pray with me together as we embark on this business ethics teachings.
首先，何谓商业道德呢
？First of all, what is business ethics?
一般上来讲，商业道德呢是包括一套能够帮助跟这个利益相关者呢来去信任的这个实践和程序的一个体系。
In general, business ethics will include a system of practices and procedures that help to build trust with stakeholders.
这方面呢，在稍后我会再多讲一点。
I will elaborate on that later.
然后呢，另外就是一些的商业道德呢也受到法律的这个规范。
Some business ethics are also regulated by the law and legal norms.
比如说最低的工资呢，还有环境的法规等等。
Such as minimum wages, environmental regulations, and so on.
另一方面呢，商业道德也受到这个管理行为的影响，对整个公司产生广泛的这个影响。
On the other hand, business ethics is also influenced by management behaviors, which have broad implications for the entire company.
所以站在不同这个所谓的阶层的人们，比如说制造者，就是比如说企业和这个所谓的生产商，消费者跟这个销售者，对这个商业道德这个标准和原则呢，都有不同的界定和这个想法。
And so people at different standpoints, whether you're the manufacturer, enterprise, producers, sellers, consumers, you will have differing opinions on what constitute the standards and principles of business ethics.
而经营这个企业的操作想法，或者是说商业道德这个标准的原则呢，也会随着社会的环境跟改变以及它的影响呢而有所不同。
And the standards of operation,And the principles of running businesses and enterprises will also vary in accordance with the changes and influences of the social environment.
比如说，过去公司他们在经营这个经营者他们的传统的观念呢，是这个股东权益的模式。
For example, in the past, the traditional concept of company operation was the shareholder mode.
他们公司所注重的呢是赚钱、提高股价跟满足股东。
The focus of the company was to generate revenue, raise stock prices, and satisfy customers or shareholders.
而慢慢的，现在呢，则是转向这个利益相关者的这个模式。
And today we have evolved towards this stakeholder model and practice.
他们这样的观念跟模式呢，就是说主要是照顾相关者的利益。
And the primary focus then is to take care of the interests of stakeholders.
比如说，其中有三方面。
And there could be three stakeholders.
第一就是对员工呢，要有制造工作的机会，要保障员工的这个权益。
First of all, the employees, you need to create job opportunities and protect the rights and interests of your staff.
然后对顾客呢，公司要生产好的、安全的、价格合理的产品。
To customers, the company must produce good, safe products that are reasonably priced.
然后对社会呢，要想到有这个保护环境、环保、捐款，或者是说关注和援助社会的问题等等。
And then there is a responsibility to the society, such as environmental protection or contribution of money and resources towards good works and to participate in social issues.
所以简单来说，在70到80年代呢，公司或者企业它主要的目标注重点呢，就是赚钱、提高股价跟满足这个股东。
So in sum, the 1970s and 80s, then the main goal of the company was to make money, provide stock price, and satisfy customer or shareholders.
然后来到90年代的时候呢，因为公司企业它重视相关者的利益呢，所以需要给予照顾员工、顾客、供应商，以及面对这个环境恶化转变的问题，比如说气候暖化，还有大自然环境被破坏呢，他们就逐渐的去意识到需要关注社会和环境责任的重要性。
It was not until 1990s that companies and enterprises will recognize the importance of co-benefiting relevant stakeholders. And so they need to take care of their employees, the customers and suppliers. And in the face of environmental problems and deterioration, such as climate warming, destruction of natural habitats, then the need to also address social and environmental issues and assume responsibility to prevent further deterioration.
因此呢，当我们所要传讲有关商业道德的时候呢，要包括哪些主要的内容或者责任之前。
And hence, before we embark to preach on the content and the responsibility of business ethics,
有个这个发展的阶层呢是需要去了解的，它被称为企业公民意识金字塔。
There is a developmental aspect that we need to understand, and this is what we call the pyramid of corporate citizenship.
它分为四个阶层。最底的阶层呢，就是关于这个经济责任。
It has four layers, and the bottommost layer is called economic responsibility.
一间公司企业，它当然要先赚钱，不然员工是没有办法生存的。
Of course, a company must generate revenue and be sustainable, or else you can't feed your employees.
而赚钱的方法其实是很多，较安稳的方法呢，就是要出产对这个社会有价值和高度安全性的这个产品。
There can be many ways to make money, and the most stable way is to produce products that are of value and safe for use in the society.
绝对不能够为了说赚钱而去生产一些恶劣又不安全的产品，最终呢会被这个市场和顾客来去唾弃。
You do not produce lousy quality and unsafe products for the sake of making money, because if you do so, the company will eventually be boycotted by the market and by customers.
譬如说，曾经就有一些不法的这个奶粉的这个商，他们为了说要赚取这个暴利呢，所以在这个奶粉中呢，他们添加不好的这个三聚氰胺的这个成分在里面，最后呢，他们被发现也被抓到了，然后受到法律的制裁。
For example, in the past, we had incidents, you know, of milk powder manufacturers who added this harmful melamine to their products for profits. They were eventually found out and they were punished by law.
所以经文箴言十章第二节讲得非常的好，不义之财呢毫无益处，唯有公义人就能脱离死亡。
And so Proverbs chapter 10 verse 2 it says, "Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death."
所以来到第二个阶层呢，就是关于这个法律的责任。
The second level is legal responsibilities.
这个阶层呢，是希望说公司能够遵守法律的这个规定的限制，不会对社会做出任何有害的这个事情。
Here, the company seeks to abide by the standards of the law and regulations and refrain from bringing harm to society.
其实现在的这个科技资讯呢，传播系统是非常的发达。我们也知道说，有些国家就算有这个法律条文的限制，但是法律的这个约束力呢，对意图想要犯法的这个企业来说，它的作用不是很大。
Actually, we are also aware, you know, the reality is that, you know, informed by today's developed information and mass communication system, that there are countries, despite having good legal restrictions, still are not able to restrain their companies and enterprises that will willfully choose to break the law.
而第三部分呢，就是来这个阶层来到这个道德责任。
The third part is ethical responsibilities.
这部分呢，就是说社会是期待这个公司或者是这个经营者呢，他们不会做出违背原则的这个事情。
Society expects the company, the operator or the producer not to do anything against principles.
比如来说，将这个产品的价格定得太高，虽然不涉及这个法律的这个问题，但是对消费者来说呢，是认为是不道德的。
For example, we expect the company not to set prices overly high, even if this is not illegal, because to the customer or consumer, this is considered unethical.
这阶层呢是不容易去达成，因为每个人的道德标准呢都不一样，想法也是不一致的。
This level is not easy to achieve because everyone's moral standard is different and our opinions will vary.
然后最高那个阶层呢，我们称为是自由决定的责任。
The highest level is what I call the discretionary responsibility.
这个层次呢是属于那种自愿性的。
This aspect belongs to voluntary choice.
所以当公司将以下的三层这个在努力做好之后呢，他们就会需要去思考如何去照顾这个回馈这个社会。
After the company has fulfilled the responsibility of the first three levels, the company needs to go on to consider how to take care of and give back to society.
现在很多的这个企业都选用这种的模式去发展和去进行。
Today, many companies adopt this model for development and operations.
比如说这个可口可乐的公司。
For example, Coca-Cola.
他们为了要减少他们排出那个几百万吨的温室气体呢，所以他们投资去购买了这个新的替代的燃料车。
Coca-Cola, in order to reduce emission of millions of tons of greenhouse gases, invested in new alternative fuel vehicles.
就希望说能够将那个排碳量呢，能够减少至少可能20-25%。
And by doing so, they seek to reduce carbon emissions by up to 25%.
另外一间可以我觉得有不错的就是那个 The Body Shop， 我相信大家在新加坡有看过这个品牌。
The Body Shop is another example of companies with high business ethics.
Yeah, 他们都有很高的这个所谓的商业道德这个理念的企业，他们积极的参与跟推动这个环保。
It actively participates in activities that promote environmental care.
然后还有就参与这个可再生能源的这个活动项目等等。
It got involved in projects for renewable energy.
正如箴言十一章24-25节这么教导我们说，有奢侈的钱财增添，然后慷慨待人必然丰裕，滋润人的连自己也得滋润。
Just like what says in Proverbs chapter 11, one person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but becomes to poverty.
所以当企业有这个能力，然后知道人们社会需要援助的时候呢，他们就会出于这个慷慨给予关怀，然后呢，很自然的，他们也得到很好的这个回报。
When companies and enterprises have the ability to contribute, and when they know that people and society need help, they should give care out of generosity, and by doing so, they will be rewarded.
而对我来说，特别是在这个阶层最高的阶层里面，圣经话语的教导呢，是具有非常重要和很深的这个影响力。
And the teaching of God's word has profound impact on this level of understanding.
因为他们也可以透过这个圣经的教导呢，来去得到帮助，来去让帮助他们在面对这个自由决定责任的时候呢，能够深入的去思考及做出合理的承诺， 怎么去实践造福社会人群的责任。
Through the Bible's teachings, leaders can be guided to act rightly when they're faced with this discretionary responsibility. And so corporate leaders must be deep thinkers who reflect and make appropriate commitments to practice their responsibility for the benefit of the community.
我曾经有机会呢，被一间大企业这个邀请呢，为他们高阶的主管呢，比如说他们的董事、他们的总经理、他们的主管，还有特选的优秀的员工呢，给予这个培训。
I once had an opportunity to be invited by a large company to provide training for their senior management leaders, such as their directors, managers, supervisors, and selected outstanding employees.
这间的企业呢，它十年前就大概有一万的这个员工在他们公司里面。
10 years ago, this company had nearly 10,000 employees.
他们是从事这个生产饲料、畜牧业和肉类制成品的生意。
It was engaged in the production of feed, animal farming, and meat products.
邀请我去培训的公司的总裁，他是基督徒。
The company CEO who invited me was a believer.
他要求培训的内容呢，是必须要结合这个企业的精神和文化呢，和基督教信仰的内容。
He requested that the content of equipping must combine contents of corporate entrepreneurship with Christian faith.
我感到好奇的就是说，为什么这家公司的总裁来去找我这一位牧师，在企业文化里面加入基督教信仰教导的这个培训。
I was quite curious. Why look for me, a pastor, to include the teaching of Christian faith in corporate culture?
弟兄姐妹，你觉得为什么这个企业要需要找一个牧师给他们这个培训呢？
So why would this corporate company seek a pastor to give them equipping?
弟兄姐妹，觉得主要的原因是什么？
What do you think is the reason?
对来讲，是不是有些的敏感，就是跟他们企业来去讲这基督教的信仰？
Wouldn't this be a little bit sensitive?
而且他也是来自中国的。
And he came from China, PRC.
原来这位大老板他有这个前瞻性的这个视野。
It turned out that this big boss is one person with a forward-looking vision.
他就是说，他的想法就是说，如果他公司里面所有这个领导层的主管和他的员工，他工作如果只是想说要去扩张这个所谓的生意、赚钱、争取这个社会的名利地位。
This CEO, he knew that if all his leaders and his employees and all their focus, their work, is only interested to expand businesses, make money, and strive for fame and status,
对公司的持续性的发展呢，是有这个问题的。
There will be problems of sustainability and development for the company.
所以呢，必须要教导他们在这个企业文化里面要有这个爱心。
He needed his leaders to inculcate love within the corporate culture.
比如说忍耐、恩慈、谦卑、尊重、无私、诚信等等，因此呢，就希望我能够给予他们这个协助。
Such as patience, kindness, humility, respect, selflessness, forgiveness, and honesty. And therefore, he hoped that I could help them.
非常感恩的是，经过几年的时间培训之后呢，他们逐渐在企业里面呢建立了这个爱心文化。
Thanks be to God. After a few years of training, they gradually established a culture of love within the company.
而他们呢，也成为了当地的这个企业界的这个巨头。
And they became giant leaders in the local business community.
他们呢，更祝福了当地的许多的小型的企业公司、员工和消费者。
The company became a blessing to many small local companies, employees, and consumers.
比如说他们提供小型企业的这个专业的知识还有金钱的援助。
For example, the company extends expertise and monetary assistance to small businesses.
让员工呢享有最好的一个福利，还有就是提供安全卫生的这个所谓的食品呢给这个消费者来去使用。
They also provide good benefits to their employees and they ensure that their products are safe and hygienic and the food is for the consumers.
所以对现今的公司或企业来说呢，这是一种可持续性发展生存的这个策略。
For today's companies, businesses, this is a sustainable development and existential strategy.
因为这么做的益处呢，不单是能够说提高公司的名声和形象。
The company on one hand will benefit from good repute and image.
金钱的收入跟它的销售自然会去增加。
It will result in increased sales and revenue.
顾客呢也会更自然的去支持这个公司。
Customers will stay loyal to the company.
当然就是更具有吸引力呢，来去保留优秀的员工等等。
And the company will be able to attract and retain outstanding employees.
最重要的是就是说能够祝福造福这个人群。
Most importantly, it will bring blessing and benefits to the community.
所以从这样一个讲述里面，我们可以看到这个商业道德其实它可以包含的内容呢，基本上可以有七个的层面。
And hence, you can see that business ethics basically encompasses seven aspects.
个人的责任
personal responsibility,
企业的责任
corporate responsibility,
社会与环境的责任
social and environmental responsibility,
还有就是忠诚、尊重、诚信以及公平等
and then loyalty, respect, integrity, and fairness.
我相信这些所谓的道德的这个内容也可以落实使用在医生、律师、老师和各个不同的领域的行业里面。
I believe this ethical content can be practiced by other job fields and industries like you know, medical, law, and faculty.
我们除了说有这个经济和法律的责任之外，我们有道德和这个自由决定的责任。
In addition to economic and legal responsibilities, we all have ethical and discretionary responsibilities.
教会今年的主题是丰盛生命。
Our church theme this year is flourishing life.
丰盛生命它不是说只教导大家学习自己让自己在生活中怎么样，我们的主题是什么？
What is the theme? You teach us how to
丰盛生命是什么？一二三是什么？三个。一是什么？活得对。第二是活得好。第三活得乐呀，不是只有让学习自己在生活中活得对、活得好、活得乐。
And so beyond teaching everyone how to live right, live well, and live happily,
也是强调说我们怎么去祝福这个社会和周遭的人，因着你而经历到活得对、活得好、活得乐的这个丰盛生命。
The other emphasis is on blessing the society and people around us, so that when you do so, you will truly experience life living rightly, life living well, and life living happily.
另外呢，在这个根据真言有提到一些关于这个商业道德有相关性的这个教导。
In addition, the Proverbs also cover certain aspects related to business ethics.
就是关于这个贿赂或者是说送礼或者礼物的这些事情。
So I'm talking about bribery and giving of gifts.
当我们在看经文的时候，我们发现到好像是它的教导呢有一些的不那么容易理解，或者有一些矛盾。
We may find here the teaching somewhat contradictory.
因为呢，他一方面让人觉得说，哎，好像贿赂是不好，但是在其他时候呢，他又几乎好像是很被积极的评价，他能够使理想目标的实现成为可能的事情。
On the one hand, it seems to depict bribery as something not so nice, but in other contexts, this practice is regarded positively, saying that it will lead to the attainment of a desired outcome.
比如说，你看到以下的这两段的经文，他们就可以做个对照。
For example, you can compare these two passages.
比如说，在这个箴言十七章第二十三节，恶人暗中受贿赂，以致扭曲公正的路。
A bribe is seen as a charm by the one who gets it. They think success will come at every turn.
但是在箴言第二十一章第十七节，他就这么说：暗中送的礼物挽回怒气，坏的贿赂人仔细暴怒。
But then in 21 verse 14 it says, A gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath.
所以呢，当我们在看经文的时候，我们可能要去了解一下，在这个箴言书里面，他们怎么去看这个贿赂跟礼物这两个字。
So we need to understand from Proverbs how they express this, this word, giving or gifts or bribery.
他们用两个词 来去描述 这个字，就一个是翻译成贿赂，另外是翻译成礼物。
There are two words that express this practice. One is translated as bribe, the other is translated as gift.
但是他们呢却不被用来说去分好的或者是坏的这个贿赂。
But the two words are not used to distinguish between what is good and what is bad.
就如刚才我们所看的经文第二十一章十四节里面有说，他暗中送的礼物挽回怒气，坏的贿赂人仔细暴露。
Just as what we read in 21 verse 14, saying a gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath.
Oh, sorry. 他们被用作了大致的这个同义词。
And so the two words are used synonymously, both with positive connotations.
并且呢，都是积极的这个意义。
Positive connotations.
不过呢，这个贿赂跟送礼了之间，还是能将他们做出一些小小的区分。
However, we can still make some small distinctions between these two words.
比如说，贿赂呢，通常是消极的，是堕落行为反常的这个词句。
For example, the word bribe is usually associated with negative and deprived or perverse statements.
它常常有这个带有负面跟扭曲的这个正义的意涵。
Connoting this negative aspect of perverting justice.
这样我们要如何去界定？ 这个所谓的属于贿赂或送礼物的行为的举止呢？
Then how can we actually differentiate between bribery and gift-giving behavior?
我认为呢，可以根据他的目的和他的动机呢，来作为这个去分辨。My
suggestion is to look at its purpose and its motive.
比如说，如果一个人送礼物是为了要逃避法律的这个制裁呢？ 那就是错的。
If a person gives a gift to avoid legal sanctions, then this is wrong.
如果说你想要说借助这个送礼呢，达到一个非法的目的，或者是它的结果呢，这种送礼呢，或者是直接可以被称为说行贿的目的呢，也是不对和犯法的。
If you want to achieve some illegal purposes or result by the giving of gifts, such giving then for the purpose of bribery, it is wrong, it is illegal.
其实，在新加坡也可以常常看到说有关于这个贿赂的事件的发生。
Actually, in Singapore, we have also seen incidents of such bribery.
这是最近在报章上都有被报道的事件。
You read of these incidents in the newspaper.
比如说，有一家公司的这个前技术师呢，他被指呢，在三年内呢，他收了七家分包商的这个5万多块的这个汇款。
The former resident technician of a group subsidiary was accused of accepting more than 50K in bribes from 7 subcontractor vendors within 3 years.
因为这些分包商呢，希望他能够不要在所谓的一个预售主屋项目中呢，给他们留下这个负面的评估，所以给了他这个钱。
So he accepted these bribes in exchange for not giving a negative evaluation for the vendors.
然后最后被抓到了，然后被控上法庭。
Was found out and was eventually charged in court.
另外，就是说关于这个，就是在职种评价合作社有两位的员工呢，他们跟这个所谓的一些供应商来去勾结，8年内他收了这个贿赂呢，大概有50万，所以最后被抓到被控这个贪污罪。
And we also saw this recent report of two NTUC staff accused of colluding with fish suppliers. Within 8 years, they accepted more than 520,000 in bribes, and they were finally charged for corruption.
对，箴言第10章第2节说，不义之财是毫无益处的。
And so Proverbs 10 verse 2 states, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value.
唯有公义呢，能救人脱离这个死亡。
But righteousness delivers from death.
任何不义之财呢，最终都不会带来什么好处。
Any form of illegal, ill-gotten wealth accumulation is often only temporary.
通常呢，只是暂时的收益，只是最后呢，它会带给人身败名裂。
Just temporary gains, and ultimately nothing good results from it. At worst, it will result in disgrace.
我们也可能要面对罚款或者是坐牢的这个结果。
Even penalized with fines and jail time.
所以有句话，关于信仰教导的，是值得学习的。
And so there's a saying about faith teaching that's worth learning.
就是让我们的生活信仰化，然后信仰生活化。
Faithful in your living, living out your faith.
请问这句话是什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
大概是什么意思？ 弟兄姐妹可以给我一些的你们的了解吗？
Any response from you? What does it mean for you?
什么叫做生活信仰化？
Faithful in your living?
可以解释一下什么叫生活信仰化？生活信仰化呢，就是说我们现在因着相信和接受了耶稣基督。
And faithful in living means that we are now baptized as followers of Christ.
我们也受洗说成为耶稣基督耶稣基督的跟随者。
Baptized as followers of Christ in whom we confess our faith.
所以呢，我们的生活呢就变成了这个信仰化。
And so our daily living is guided by our faith.
因此呢，我们生活中有开始说祷告啦，或是读经啦，或者我们参加聚会啦，或者我们来去参与服事啊，传福音等等。
And so our life will commit to praying, reading the Bible, attending fellowship, and giving of ourselves and serving.
所以这是生活信仰化。
And so that is faithful in your living.
这样什么又是信仰生活化呢？
What then is living out your faith?
就表示说，当我们努力的学习这个信仰的教导。
It means we diligently learn to the teachings of God.
然后呢，我也让我们的信仰的教导呢，进入到我们的生活里面去。
And then allow the teaching of God to enter our lives.
在生活中呢，我们各种所做的事情，我们的言语行为呢，很自然的就活出所谓的基督徒美好的这个生命力和这个见证。
Such that we will naturally exhibit or exemplify in our lives the vitality and the testimony of Christian faith.
这个就是所谓的信仰生活化。
And that's what it means, living out our faith.
回来看，其实我们当中也可能都知道说什么是商业道德的理论，或者是它的标准的原则。
I believe that everyone basically knows theory and principles of business ethics.
我们也知道很多关于圣经的话语，然后也知道说要去遵循上帝的话语去行。
We also know enough about God's word and that we should follow it.
然而我们有没有发现到，就是在现实中呢，我们可能也面对到最大的一个挑战。
The reality and the greatest challenge is this.
就是说，我们不是不知道，而是做不到，或是还没做到。
It's not that we do not know, but that we are not able to practice it, or that we have yet to get it done.
意思是说，我们现在可能有生活信仰化。
We may already be faithful in our living.
可是我们可能还没进入到信仰生活化里面去。
But we have not entered into this living out our faith.
所以愿上帝来帮助我们。
And so may God help us.
当我们知道他的话语的教导之后呢？
That when we know his words and his teachings,
也能够将他在生活中去活出来或行出来。
We can also live them out in our lives.
就好像今天我们这句话的这个教导。
Just like what this phrase states.
让我们的生活信仰化。
That we are faithful in our living.
然后呢，也让我们的信仰生活化。
And we're able to live out our faith.
Amen. 可以做到吗？
Can we do that?
我们一起努力好不好？
Let's strive for that.
来，我们一起讲这句话，我们记起来，我们讲三遍，一、二、三。生活信仰化，信仰生活化。好，等一下，对你的左右前后讲一次，彼此都勉励一下。一、二、三。生活信仰化。营养生活化，好，对你的后面讲一下，对你的后面讲一次，再讲一次，再记起来，我们就可以出去了。好 ，OK， 好，来，再一次，再一次，一二三，生活信仰化，养生活化，阿门。好，这样我们就今天的信息最重要的重点就是这个，我们记起来，我们回到去外面，我们让我们的生活成为一个信仰化信仰生活化的生活。我们恳求上帝祝福和赐给你我力量。
Ask of God to bless you and me with strength.
将祝福带给社会和周遭的人。
To bring blessings to society and people around us.
因着你和我的缘故呢，经历到活得对、活得好、活得热的丰盛生命。
That through you and through me, one and all may experience a flourishing life of living right, living well, and living happily.
正如我们禧莲堂的这个宣教意向的宣言
，just as described in the vision statement of Jubilee Church，
就是成为一个圣灵充满的敬拜群体，借着神的爱吸引万人，见证基督，装备信徒跟祝福群体。
And so the vision statement of Jubilee Church is here to be a spirit-filled worshiping community that attracts witnesses, equips and blesses with God's love.
让我们喜乐的教会也成为一间就是生活信仰化、信仰生活化的一间的教会。
May Jubilee be a church that is faithful in our living and living out our faith.
Amen.
Amen.